The Netball Show with Flyhawk, raising the bar for netball and women's sport.
Hello, and you're listening to The Netball Show with Flyhawk. I'm Chloe, and today I'm joined by Beth, and we're bringing you the hottest news of the week. Hear from us about Caitlin Bassett, Liz Ellis, and the New Zealand and Men's Series.
Hi, I'm Juva Mentor, and you're listening to The Netball Show.
It's The Netball Show with Flyhawk. I'm Bethany Hushen, and I'm here with Chloe again, looking at some of the signings that have been happening throughout this week. And I mean, what a week it's been. I mean, we made some recommendations. We had a good discussion last week on the podcast. We've definitely got some things wrong, but we definitely got some things right. But I think the big one we all need to start with, which shocked and rippled netball, was Ebony. I mean, Chloe, where did that come from?
So I actually can remember where I was when I read that news, because it was literally like a bombshell had struck. Queensland Firebirds are being harassed online and harassed on Twitter. Tell us who the keeper is. Who's it going to be? You're leaving it to the last day. Nobody knew. Everyone was guessing. And then out of nowhere, a beautiful video pops up on Twitter of Ebony and Savannah. And there we have it. Ebony and Sarah Brown is moving from Bath to Australia for her second innings out in Down Under. And it's just huge. It's so big.
I mean, I would love to know anyone in the netball world, apart from obviously the nearest and dearest around Ebony, who actually tipped this at all. She has been an inspiration for any woman or athlete, any athlete at all, who wants to try and balance their career, their professional career and their playing career. It's a great journey that she's had. She had the opportunity before in Australia. Then she came back, worked in law, utilised that degree that she got. Now she's just had a baby, and we put Ebony and someone like Rachel Dunn probably in the same boat, because it's fantastic seeing how they manage it and how they've managed the pathways. And she is an inspiration to all athletes and professionals. But now to see her getting another go at playing in Australia, I can't wait to see it.
And you know what? I think the thing that we're also all thinking about with our majors hat on, our Commonwealth Games hat on,
of course, we have to think about that.
This really moves Ebony up the order. Like, you know, defensively, England has a really strong back line. You've got Juva Mentor in there, who, you know, will be in there to the foreseeable. And it's always been a question about who her defender, her GD is. And it's been Ebony recently, but we've seen a sprinkle of Fran Williams in there. But like, what does that mean now going forwards, now that she's out in Oz with Frances Bayman, who is also out there? That's got to bump her up of Jess Thirlby's radar, surely.
I know, it's quite a nice thing for Jess to have to think about. But yeah, it's great that if that's one of the reasons why Ebony's gone out there, that she's going, you know what, I've got some fight. I might have had a baby, but that doesn't mean I have to stop. And that's fantastic. It's always a beautiful message. She's going to show us that you can still be a mom and have a beautiful daughter and still make it. And she's not the only one, is
yeah,
she? There's quite a few moms.
Three moms at Queensland Firebirds. So it's the place to be with your little one, which I think is brilliant, like a brilliant thing, A, for the sport, but also for that kind of environment they must be going for. That mothers are drawn there shows that there must be something about the culture there that is safe and good.
Can you imagine their crash? How amazing. They must have a crash there already for the babies,
yes,
and everything.
That'll be, I mean, yeah. And also, we are talking here about Ebony. We're not talking about her as a bench player, I don't think.
Of
with
course
the Firebirds. No, we are talking about a keep, like a foot, well, at least a starting keeper, because they obviously had that shock departure of Rudy Ellis to West Coast Fever with Dan Ryan, who we lost from our league. We found out about that. That feels like years ago we found out about that. But we'll come back to that one later, because that's a thought to hold on to. But yeah, I think that's going to be our headline for today, is Ebony and Sarah Brown to the Queensland Firebirds.
I know, and good luck to her. And I can't wait to see how she does there. And she's definitely going to put a mark on. But she's not the only big news. Well, not news, to be fair, because we're still asking ourselves, and we asked this last week on the podcast, was what is happening with WASP? Where are they? Where are the signings? We asked for some signings. They didn't give us any. Obviously, this podcast didn't get to the WASP camp, but we want to know
what is going on.
What's happening? Now, we have kind of gone through with a fine-tooth comb who is still available, who's still there, and who's still in the current squad. And we've worked out there is a few people still who haven't signed elsewhere, who could still be remaining at WASPs.
Yeah, so it bears mentioning that at the time of this recording, Stars dropped their 15 And that was significant for this Wasps question because, lo and behold, Katie Harris had moved there. Dragons also have dropped a few. We'll get to them. But those are the clubs we were harassing last week, being like, what's going on? We've had answers from them. Thank you, guys. But Wasps, right. So the question, well, we've done, yeah, like you said, we've done the hard work for you. Here are the players who were in the 2021 Wasps squad that haven't yet appeared. So we've got Iona Christian. We've got Rachel Dunn. That's a huge one. Where is Dunn?
I mean, we all love
we
Dunn.
Want Dunn.
We do. It's like we're
never forget.
It's like we're cheering her on from the bench in the England games again.
I can hear it. Fran Williams, who we spoke about last week as thinking as someone who could be on the move, or, you know, that would be an interesting one. But we haven't heard where she's popped up, if she's popping up anywhere else. Josie Huckle and Giselle Allison. Those are our five that have remained. The ones that have gone are Ella Powell-Davies, Amy Flanagan, who isn't gone, but she's taking a break from netball. We've seen Sophia Candapa go back to Surrey Storm. Katie Harris, we've said, has gone to Stars. And Lily Mae Catling has also moved elsewhere. So that does leave Wasps with a lot of unanswered questions.
And then it's also looking at which ones haven't signed and what could happen, or are they going to be drawing people in from their academy? Now, there is Lucy Priest, who did used to play for Wasps, that she's come through the ranks. She's a Coventry girl. So maybe she might be coming back, because Lightning dropped that this afternoon, that she won't be joining them.
Yeah, that she's leaving the club and they haven't said where or for why. So we assume she's a free agent. Then we've also got other people, other names that we've kind of picked up on that there are lots, I'm sure. But these are the kind of headline ones. Nia Jones, yet to be announced. I'll eat my hat if she's not a Dragons.
I think we all would. I think we know that Dragons have still got a few spots, and Georgia Rowe's been announced that way. We know that Beth and Dyke has stayed at Stars, but Stars are now all completely out.
Yeah. So
it makes more sense for Nia to be going back up to Wales.
Then we've got Jade Clark.
Oh yes, former Wasp player as well.
A former Wasp player, not yet re-signed to Leeds, so we'll wait and see. Siggy Berger, who we know is not at London Pulse, where is she going to go? Adine Thomas, also not announced at London Pulse, where is she going? Is she going somewhere? And at the bottom of my written list, I put Caitlin Bassett, because we can always dream.
She still has this dream, everybody. Chloe is dreaming on. I mean, it would make sense. And we will allude back to Caitlin Bassett at the end of this, because I'm sure you all saw the drama. If you didn't see the drama,
we'll tell you about it.
We definitely will. But there are two, well, there's three, because Nina obviously being the Welsh captain, and then there's obviously Jay Clark and Fran Williams in the England Roses. So we've gone through again with a fine-tooth comb, and they're the only players from the England Roses and the pathway that haven't been signed anywhere yet. So are they going to stay put with their clubs? Or there are a couple of clubs left that have still got room. So Leeds have still got room. We think Thunder have still got a slot left.
Definitely a slot for a defender. We feel like that. So that just going to, not just a spot, but a defending spot.
And that one we're thinking, mate, if Fran is on a move, is that going to be where she goes?
That would be a brilliant place. If you're thinking international hat on, chances of the Super League, Thunder, they'll have a little chip on their shoulder after the season. I reckon that would be a fantastic place to see her. And not least, Tracy Neville is there.
Of course.
And bought Fran to the World Cup. So there's a partnership already there that would be amazing to develop.
But the thing I think Wasps have got, in fact, we haven't heard anything, but they've still got a bit of their spine from when they originally started. So for the likes of Fran, for the likes of Rachel Dunn and all the other players that are still there, there is an opportunity that they will be the senior players.
Absolutely.
So that
doesn't get more senior than Rachel.
Well, no, it doesn't. We love you, Rachel. Of course we do. But that means that those players, those young players who have come through, can now develop. And maybe that's it. They're the leaders. And we've seen youth has been successful in the Super League. So maybe that's why they've kept so quiet, because they're still trying to work out which of the youth players that they're going to be coming up and bringing. But
we want answers.
Wasp, please, for our next podcast, we request you to let us know what's going on. Please, everyone wants done.
We want answers. Where are Wasps?
Exactly. So going on to that, so we know we've had some big drops. So Stars have been some big ones. So we're wondering what was happening more with Summer.
Yeah, I mean, yes. Okay, so Summer, with our England hat on, Summer Artman was sitting on the bench at Bath last year when Ebony was coming off. We were seeing Tash Pavin kind of on ahead of Artman. So I think a lot of us, I mean, definitely me, delighted to see Artman make a move that looks like she'll get much more playing time. And what partnerships, the brilliance of where she is at Stars now is we've got Lucy Herdman in there, who we know she's versatile. She went from shooter to defender.
I mean, we all remember what she did in Fast Fives.
Yes. And then you've got Iman Thomas in there, who had a great season out of wing defence. And then Michelle Drain, also wing defence centre. That's a cop from Pulse. I think that's a great one. Like, Michelle Drain brings a lot of expertise and calm to a centre court. And then, Lord help every other team in this league, because the attack end, oh my God.
Chloe's getting a bit excited, everybody. She is getting very excited.
Cat is back,
there
everyone.
You go, exactly.
And she's being fed. So you know what? The bit I'm excited about, obviously I'm excited that Cat's back. We've got our nice sort of New Zealand trifecta. We've got Liana Leota, Cat, and Melissa at Stars. It's a great little thing that we have. But now that we know Katie Harris is there, we've got a long bomb shooting goal attack, but you've also got Paige Reed. So who for me plays a lot like Rhea Dixon. It's a very intelligent, artful game. So you've got two kind of complementary goal attacks, both offering something different. You've got Kat at the back, Liana Leota in the front. Oh my God.
Can you imagine the skills and the flair? I think Stars, they're going to be Stars with the skills that they're going to be showing. And I think all of us will be trying to replicate it on many netball courts all over the country. I'm probably not as successful as Kat can do.
But I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled to see Stars back in the game. They kept us waiting. And
it was worth the wait.
Yeah.
It was worth the wait.
It's a lot of talent. It's a lot of talent. I really hope that we see, I mean, it will be a lot to ask of that all to come together in the first season. So I hope, you know, they have that, all those players, and they keep them. But can Melissa put it together for some kind of spicy turn?
Well, I think they'll definitely be picking off some more points than they did last season, and they should be pretty thrilled by that lineup, and especially their young ones in that team as well. There's some great experience.
Yeah, Izzy Eaton getting a space in that squad. That's amazing. So also, talking about youth and new squads, we have to talk about Dragons.
We do. Newly branded Dragons. Check out it online, everybody. They've changed their logo, just like Wasps have changed their logo.
But we're not talking about Wasps anymore.
We're not. We're still upset with Wasps. But yeah, they are here, newly branded, and they are ready to take on the league. I think they are not wanting that bottom spot again, and they are ready to go.
Because what a way to announce your first signing. Like, I just can see the tweet in my head. 1 out of 15, Lefebvre Radaman. Oh my God. That's a statement of intent, isn't it? That's as a South African international, she grew throughout the season last year. She, I don't think, had the best start, but I think Pulse generally, their attacking, didn't have the best starts of the season. But by the end, we were seeing exactly what she was capable of. So she'll be working with Danny, who I think has, you can see Danny Titmuss's influence all across her pickings at Dragons. But that, what a way to start. I think when we saw Radaman there, everyone just went, oh, okay.
Yeah, Dragons are here this season. They're ready to play.
We've recruited hard. So, I mean, Beth, who else do you love from Dragons?
I mean, it's great to see that Georgia Rowe's gone back.
Yep.
So it's great to see that she's gone back. I think she struggled a little bit at Stars to really hold that circle and really take off. But it's great to see that she's back, and she's obviously putting her stamp and ready for the Commonwealth Games. So I'm sure she's going to have a really fantastic season. But surely Nia Jones, I'm going back to Nia. That she's going to be going, she must be going there, surely.
Yeah, no, I think so. Dragons, for context, we think is 8 players that they've dropped, so there's still some way to go. But Dragons, this anecdote from today that I just absolutely loved. I think I sat in my chair and I cackled, only because I, like probably a lot of you, sat down and spent a lot of time at the Olympics. Here's the context. So Katarina Short was today announced from Dragons. And she's not someone I know very well. I've not heard of her. So naturally, I went and had a look at her Twitter profile. And I scrolled down, not very far, and I saw this tweet. Claim of the day, only one of the men in the Olympic men's basketball final is taller than me.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, wow. Now,
well, okay, okay, that's quite scary for someone, for me, and I'm 6 foot two. That's scary.
Right, okay, here it is, because I watched that Olympic final. It was France versus the United States. The US won, naturally. But I believe the tallest man on that court was Rudy Gobert, who is a Frenchman. He's 7 foot one.
Wow.
2 meters 16. They call him the Stifle Tower. I'm getting off track here. But the point is, if the tallest man is 7 foot one, and our girl, Katarina, is taller than everyone but one.
And they've got Georgia Rowe, who's also one of the tallest. The height in that team is going to be ridiculous.
Danny Titmuss, we see you.
She's going for height. She's going for height. It's because she couldn't get Caitlin Bassett. She's clearly gone elsewhere and got height elsewhere.
And then you've got Radman looking after that as well, pulling the strings. So I think Dragons, however they finish up, and I'm looking inclined to see how they do already, they're looking good.
They are definitely. That. Now, another team who we know have still got players to announce are Rhinos. But we are interested in that. Obviously, we are. But who is going to be their coach? We're not letting this one go. We still don't know who's going to be coaching these Rhinos next season. So who is this person signing these players? Who is being this influence? And will they influence? I think they've signed 9 players so far. So therefore, the last 3 remaining spots in the training squad, is that going to be to do with the coach that's coming in? We don't know. We've been trying to figure out who could be filling that spot.
We did speculate last week as to who we thought could fill that spot. So if you are interested in our musings, you'll find that there. But I do think it's funny, isn't it, that because our attention is so now on Wasps and the exodus that we've seen from there, we've kind of forgotten that Leeds don't have a coach, which is huge.
It's been on the tip of our tongue, and we're like, there's something else that we don't know yet. And that's it. The big ones are, whilst we don't know your team, but Leeds, who is going to be coaching you? Is it going to be one of the players? Is it going to be a player coaching? Probably not. That's kind of old school. But who is it going to be?
It off. I don't know.
We'll find out. So that's another one. So whilst we've prior to you, Leeds Rhinos, we're now asking you, let us know who's coaching this season. We'd love to know, because then it'll give a bit of a buzz and excitement, and means we can start predicting more players for you all.
So we know also Bath have announced their big names today, the usual suspects, the ones that every Bath fan will be delighted to see, and I think netball fans generally be delighted to see. Serena Guthrie's made it, Drayford Lewis is in there. Bath are coming back in with the same intent that they came into last season, and I remember very clearly Tamsin Greenway said, look, Bath are the team that it's theirs to lose. So I wonder if she feels the same way now. I'd be interested to hear what Greenway has to say about all these things, as ever. But they're looking good.
Yep, they're still looking strong with intent. And I think it's one of those sayings, if it's not broke, why would you try and fix it?
And Bath have an incredible reputation of retaining a lot of their players. We see that. We see the way the players come back there. They feel safe there. They like it there. So, yeah. Bath mean business.
Shots. Exactly. So to kind of wrap it up, we said we'd come back to this. So we obviously usually do this and we look at the player signings and stuff. But obviously we've mentioned Caitlin Bassett, and we obviously did a cry for Caitlin to come and join the Super League. But no, she didn't give us that. She gave us a bit of drama on Twitter instead. Now, if you didn't see this, we obviously made that cry last week because we know that there's been changes to the Australia League, which means Caitlin probably doesn't get as much game. Well, she hasn't been getting as much game time as she previously did as a holding goal shooter, which she plays effectively well. She's one of the best players in the world. Her reputation is obviously correct. But since the recent changes with the scoring system, I think we all knew that was going to be a negative towards her. So she hasn't really been playing. So Chloe is sitting here.
She moved to New Zealand, right?
Yeah, she moved to New Zealand. Chloe is ready to kind of give you all the details. She's got her phone ready with the Twitter up and what happened. So what effectively happened, Chloe?
So, I mean, yeah, we're not a gossip podcast, but this is significant because it asks bigger questions and it has bearings on what's happening internationally, I do believe.
Yes.
So Bassett went to Magic to play in New Zealand and is not coming back. So at the moment, she's unsigned. We know now the SSN fully booked. She's not playing there, which is why we've been speculating jokingly a little bit about the Netball Super League. There are spots still open, but can we see the ex-Australian Diamonds captain coming across. I don't know. I can't really see it. I love to see it, but I can't see it. But anyway, context is there was an article published about the fact that captain, ex-captain Caitlin Bassett did not get a place. And she, pardon me, she retweeted it. And in the article, the journalist seeks out Liz Ellis, who is also a former Diamonds captain, a commentator at SSN, whose, I think, opinions are well-regarded generally, and said, it's hard to show you are good enough when getting sat on the bench and pigeonholed into a rebounding hole role. How can a player be good enough to be in the Australian squad but not make the core in SSN? And that's a question that we've all been asking. And it's a question that has bears on what Caitlin will do going forwards. And then Liz responds, and she sort of says, yes, these are excellent questions, but, you know, probably ask those doing the recruiting. She says, I can only surmise that it's because you weren't deemed good enough that you didn't get the contract.
Now, I think all of us are like, right, okay, there's clearly a nerve has probably been hit there by saying that you're not good enough. And you know what? She did. The nerve was hit.
Then Caitlin sort of moves on to talk about whether there are enough opportunities for Australian athletes to compete with the imports coming in. And Liz says, you know, she's a fan of the import rule, and that certainly, when you do look at it, there are, I believe, 7 out of the 8 shooters that start are in the SSN currently are imports. So does Bassett have a point? Are there enough teams? People talk about there not being enough teams in the Suncorp Super Netball League. There's talk of Tasmania potentially entering the fray, the Northern Territory entering the fray. Anyway, the other thing that Australia has going on is that they kind of, last year, just before COVID, I do believe, they got rid of their national league, the league that sits underneath underneath Super Netball. And that therefore makes it very difficult for players who don't get a contract to go and play high quality netball and put their hand up and go, hey, look at me, I'm playing well. They've replaced it with a championship over 2 weeks, I think. And this is Liz's concern. She's like, this is the big failing here. And then Caitlin says to Liz, you like the unlimited import rule because you no longer play netball and it doesn't impact your position. And that's kind of the nail in the coffin, really, of that conversation.
So we all know the benefits of having these internationals coming over. It's great for our sport, generally.
But we have a rule in our Super League, don't we?
We do, yeah. So we have a rule that you can only have a certain amount of imports, but also they can't play in the same
third. Yeah.
So therefore, it gives a bit more variety. But the SSN League has obviously changed things up over the years, and that's why we've had the likes of Natalie Haythornwaite, Helen Housby, Sam
Wallace
playing together, which a few years ago you would never have been able to have those three internationals playing in the same league. And look what's happened to Swifts. They've won two in the last three. But what Caitlin is saying is probably correct in terms of a homegrown athlete is, are they given opportunities? So actually, by the look of it, how the Super League is, how we're creating the Super League here, yes, it isn't attracting. We are still losing some of our big stars and they are still going over to Australia and New Zealand. But actually, in terms of growing our home talent, it seems to be good for our English athletes. But actually, the business side of what's happening with the SSN is affecting the athletes. So yeah, we are praising the Vitality Super League here by the fact that we are doing this. We do miss not seeing some of our stars coming over, but I think we all know as lovers of netball why they do, and it gives them an opportunity to have that international battle. But we are still having some of our roses are still here. So I do sympathise for Bassett and for any of the players. Our answer to you, Caitlin, is come to the Super League, please.
I would like just to add to that, that I do think also that I think Caitlin herself talks about a bigger picture. I do also think from the outside looking in that there is a bigger picture thing going on where Australia want to have the best league in the world.
Yes.
And they want to have the best team in the world.
Yes, and you've just got to look at all different leagues across different sports. That's what attracts people, that's what attracts money. And
I don't know if somewhere, that they have lost that desire for both, or someone somewhere above has decided that one is more important than the other, which is why we've seen the Super Shot, which is why we've seen rolling subs, all these things that are not in the international game that are having consequences. And therefore, because of the promotion of the league over the players, over the team, is this basically the fallout from that? For me, I'm a bit on Team Liz here when it comes to imports. I think it's slightly lazy to blame imports for why Aussie talent isn't getting to the places that it should be getting at. Only because I sat and thought about this, Beth, because the Premier League, right, it's one of the best football leagues in the world.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, we have we've got big money going around here.
I mean, we've got arguably one of the best players in the world has now come back to the Football Premier League, of course.
Sure, yeah. So we would agree that. But for years, England as a team never did well. And a lot of people pointed to the fact that's because our Premier League is full of international players and our boys aren't getting a go. Right.
That's correct, yeah.
So then how now are we getting to a Euros final, getting into a World Cup semi-final? Nothing about the league has changed.
No.
So is it... what else is also going on here? Is it also just simply down to the crop of players that you have?
I think there is that balance, and it's... sport is now it's a full-blown business, and it has to be sustainable. And on many podcasts that I've done, fortunately with the show, I'm looking at you have to look at the business perspective more and more than the desires of the athletes. And you want to have the best stage you want to try and have the best stage as you possibly can and have the best opportunity to compete. So therefore, representation could be affected, but there's pros and cons, right? So you want your players to be playing with the best players in the world. You want your leagues to have the best players in the world. So therefore, should you also be helping out your own players from your own country? There are pros and cons on both sides, but ultimately our leagues now, both the Vitality Super League, both the SFN, they're businesses.
Mm-hmm.
So they want to be attracting the best broadcasts. They want to be attracting the best sponsors to promote the sport. And at the end of the day, we want netball to be promoted and out there more and more and more. If it wasn't for these backers and the businesses side of the sports, we wouldn't be having this podcast. We wouldn't be speaking about this sort of thing. So I think I get both sides of the spectrum.
Mm. And then I suppose the counter argument is, winning internationally is also what draws people to the game.
That's correct. I mean,
look what
happened to the Commonwealth Games. That is going to happen again. It's going to happen again for us roses. It's going to happen
quick,
again.
Separate. Yeah, it's fair.
It but will.
There, you know, that draws people to the game. But does it draw them to the league? That obviously is a missing link that also needs. To me, what this argument was about, I think, obviously, we're talking about someone's personal career, where it's going, how it's been mishandled, and I do think it has been mishandled. I think it's been a PR nightmare that we've all been sort of circling and dancing around. But it has raised some really important questions about, as you say, the balance between business, the balance between international sport. And it's great stuff. But I think when we're so busy looking at these big kind of ideological things, we also forget the little nitty gritty details, like the fact the ANL, which could probably be better named, doesn't exist anymore, and the consequences of that. And those things also, I think, help us paint a picture. And you know what? While I'm talking about all of this and I'm looking at you and we're talking about the Super League, I'm just thinking of Nolene Tarua sitting there laughing.
I know.
She's washing her hands with it, and she loves chaos. And that's a nice segue, I think, to our little last final little bit.
Yes, definitely. And
New Zealand versus their men.
Yes, and that's we've spoken about this a few times on different podcasts, and to help the business of netball and the awareness of netball, I know that many netball fans on many channels were asking, why is 3x3 basketball in the Olympics? Why is these in the Olympics? Now, we have to show a fair representation of the sports, not just across the world in different countries, but both in genders. Because we are predominantly a female sport, we also need to show that there's a men's side to it as well, because both sides, both male and female, should be represented in the Olympics. Now, some of you guys will know that there are some sports still in the Olympics that are only represented by females. But we need, for us to have our best chance to get in, we need to hype in that profile. And you know what? New Zealand are doing a hell of a great job doing that. I think this is the third or fourth year that they've done this Cadbury's series with them. The Roses were involved in the last one, but they've done a bit more of a push with more males teams this time.
Yep, absolutely. And the fact they televise it as well, I think, is massive. That exactly. For the men's game. And then it's a great advert for the sport of netball because you see the way that men play it differently. It's a different challenge. And I think that's why we often see, or you often hear about, we don't see it like the way New Zealand profile it, but we do know that that international teams do go to their men's national sides to play them in the warm-up. I remember reading somewhere a long time ago that preparation for Jeneil Fowler, England bring in Jeeva Mentor's brother to put up in the goal shooter position because I think he plays basketball. But the idea is like you are drawing, you recognise, the teams are recognising that playing men is an advantage. They offer something different. Physically, they offer, the game is different, speed is different. And those are all things you want to be ready for. So if we're acknowledging that, then we are acknowledging that they are bringing something new and fresh. So you know, I loved it. I also saw, I think, it's funny that we speak about Caitlin Bassett in a moving circle and where Australia are going and apparently there's no place for her. But isn't it funny that Weke comes on for New Zealand and she does exactly what Caitlin Bassett used to do for Australia and Nolene is loving it. There were other really great performances from that series. And I think it's enough to make any fan from any other country but New Zealand a little bit scared. Just a little bit scared.
I think, yeah, New Zealand are definitely doing it right. I mean, we all know that netball is a non-contact sport. And I'm saying this with quotations around because we all know that it gets very physical. Anyone who hasn't watched a netball game, when they watch it, they go, okay, hang on a minute. This isn't just you stop with the ball. So you can't argue that the fact you don't want to play men's teams is because of their physicality, because we know that netball is a physical game. So that stereotype cannot be used in this scenario. So, and there's some fantastic male teams here that are competing. There was a tournament in Nottingham a few months ago. Quite a lot of our umpires around the UK play for the England's men. There is an England men's team, and if you haven't seen them, check them out. But definitely our recommendation, when we've been speculating about all these signings and what's been happening with Caitlin Bassett, I think the ultimate one would be watch some of the games. Games in New Zealand and start having a look at the male game as well. There are some great players. We need to start getting excited about the male representation of netball around the world.
Yeah, and then eventually you probably see it in its mixed format. So wherever we go next, I hope we can see more of that too, because we have all men's team, women's team, put them together, mixed teams.
Well, I know I have more fun, I think, playing netball when it's the mixed tournaments, and I bet everybody else probably agrees with that.
It's just different. It's just different. And we have to, like, start looking into these differences and enjoying them and seeing what they can offer. Like I said, I'm sure every international team knows the benefit of playing their men's team. And I mean, ultimately, if Nolene Tarua is doing it and she's putting it on TV for everyone to see it, it's the right thing to do.
I think so. So this is now, we've done a lot of call outs. This is now a call out to England netball. Let's find these males teams here in England. Not just England. How about when we play either Scotland, Wales, Northern Ireland, why don't we try and see where their men's teams are? Let's get them all together.
I'm actually just thinking about it. London Pulse, don't they? They play their, they have the Knights team, members of their
country. Yes, they do.
Yeah.
They do. And they're more and more active within the netball circle.
Look how good their defensive circle is, old Pulse there.
So. Exactly. So I think people are missing the tip here. So wouldn't that be great? Let's have a series with all the UK men's and women's teams. I think we fit the nail on the head. I think that's the next sport business. If you'd like to speak to us about it, we'll give you some tips. But I think that would be a great little thing for us all to do.
And just one final note about the fear of New Zealand. I caught the end of the last match of the series. And now, we haven't mentioned, but New Zealand, the Ferns, actually beat them, the men, 2-1. And they went behind probably in the second quarter of that final game. And the men, you could see they were hungry. They were after it. But for about 5 minutes at the end of the final quarter, they suddenly looked a little bit tired. And I don't know if it's something that Knowles has taught them to do, but you could suddenly see that the Ferns sensed their fatigue. and they just let rip. And it was you suddenly, the conditioning of the players came forward and they could pick off balls that they were really struggling with initially, but they sensed the blood that was coming out and they're like, we're having that. And it, for me, when we're again thinking about the Commonwealth Games and the World Cup coming up, when you see the Silver Ferns do that, when they recognize the weakness and they don't have a timeout, no one's telling them to do that, and they switch gear and they start hounding and they start turning over ball and the scoreline starts coming closer and closer, that's genius. And that's what I think will be putting the fear of God into those watching Stacey Marinkovic, Jess Thirlby, Connie. I just think that for me really was like, okay.
Yep, you've got to think of different ways to know how to play the game, and that's exactly, so that's again, that's why we're recommending why we need to play the men. It's just back a different environment. A different environment. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed our roundup of everything that's been going on in the news this week.
Definitely. Sorry if we've forgotten anything. It was quite a busy one.
It definitely was, and I'm sure we'll be picking up so much more, but it's so exciting to see all the different players that are moving about, also the not so gossip, but gossip that's going on overseas, and also the fantastic developments on how we are promoting netball in a different format by bringing the both females and males together in New Zealand.
So fingers crossed next time we can bring you a Wasps team.
Yes, we want a Wasps team and a Leeds Rhino coach. That would be beautiful.
Please, but and thank you.
We are praying to the netball gods. Well, thank you so much, Chloe.
Thank you, Beth. Oh, this was a good one. Cheers. Bye.
The Netball Show with Flyhawk, raising the bar for netball and women's sport.